And I'm sure the classical guitar served you well in Barcelona.
Yes, that it did. Barcelona being, I guess what you'd call a liberal city, was pretty tolerant, you know, of that.
What,
I do remember one conflicted situation was it became very fashionable for these. It was like these South American bands. I think they were from Bolivia or something. They're great big groups of guys, and they'd show up with their pan flutes, and they were serious about taking over the street. So they would, you know, we used to go and play with just acoustic instruments and sing, and just try and have to play really loud, you know, and that was enough. But it wasn't so much that it would disturb neighbors and that, but it was enough that people could hear you that wanted to stop and listen. Well, these guys would show up with like full PA sound system. One even had like a light rack that they set up, and another one had a smoke machine, and they became these big electric productions on the street, and we just couldn't compete with that. There was just no way you could compete with it because they were so loud that like we'd play, you know, even down the street and you couldn't hear us because they were so loud. So we realized that if we went to a payphone, because you had to go to payphone in those days, nobody had cell phones. If you would go to a payphone, we would call the police and pretend to be a neighbor nearby complaining about the noise, and the police would come and shut those guys down.
Yeah.
So that was our way of competing with the electric, full-blown spectacle of the Bolivian guys.
Right.
I put a couple on SoundCloud. I don't remember doing it, actually. You know, I used to, so another kind of sub-hobby I developed within this was writing my own songs and recording them, and I started doing this in high school with another friend. He and I would get together, and we started off making mostly just kind of silly tapes. But eventually we got our hands on a 4-track cassette tape recorder. Those of you who remember cassettes, they had 4-track tape recorders. And we would do these, you know, compositions, and we'd write songs and lyrics and perform them and play all the instruments ourselves. And I really enjoyed doing this for many, many years. And so I think two of the ones that I put on SoundCloud, once again, I don't remember when I put them on there, but apparently I did because I had the password and everything into it. So, so these two songs, these were actually recorded about 20 years ago. I think this was recorded 1995 and 1996. And it was kind of a group effort with some other musicians I played with in Barcelona at the time. One of whom is actually a pretty well-known bass player now in New York City named Alexis Cuadrado. But he was, you know, one of the kids from the neighborhood back then, 22 years ago, whatever. And we had this funk band with a horn section. And I remember that, you know, we mostly played covers in that band, and we played in different, bars and kind of nightclubs around the area. But I did have some kind of funky songs that I'd put together, and so we'd get together with kind of the bass song and the lyric and work on it, and the horn players would come up with their horn licks, and the guitar player would adapt it to his, you know, style of playing, and bass player would come up with a line, and it would just evolve into this thing kind of put together by the entire group. So that first song, while I did write the lyric and I wrote the hook, I do have to say that it's, you know, definitely a group effort. It was everybody in the band that contributed to that. And the words in the song are kind of about, it's about nonconformity. It's about, you know, if you grow up and you do everything that they tell you to, and, you know, study and then go to school and then go to grad school, then everything is going to work out exactly as you planned it. No, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this song is really about that, about don't believe in the false expectations of what, you know, following everyone else's footsteps. It's about set your own path, find your own way, do your own thing, live your own life the way you want to, not what you're supposed to do because that's what everybody else does. So that's why it's called Because They Told Us So, right?
You've got to send an invitation. Still, it doesn't mean that you will show up for the show. Wait, I can just imagine you requesting information. You have got it all wrong, not till then you'll ever know. How should we have known? How should we? gonna come or not? You told her 8 o'clock. It's already 9:30. 11th hour's on its way. Hey, destiny deserted. You had dropped you like hot rockets. You didn't hold her, but you eat it anyway. Monkey and a monkey do. We're gonna make a little bit of monkey out of you with a carrot on a stick as you pull your load up. But for you it's cold because they told you so. Everybody, because we ain't got a place to go. Got a road map of every turn, and it's always wrong, but we never learn because they told us so. But hey, how the fuck should we have known? Read it in the good book, it's on the front page. They thought it is good, that impressionable age. Lots of pictures, books, and tests. When we get a little older, then they said it was sex. And kind of in the world that'll fit the man. As his mom was a conquer slam. Sit the grumper, spreading a wide. Hold your nose and walk inside. Better take a number, get a place in line. Gotta eat her bread, gotta drink her wine. Gotta make it to the top, gotta leave my mark. Gotta make women scream, gotta make the dogs bark. Make a kill on a bottle with my mobile phone. Get a beach where my daughter's on the cover home. Top of the class with a college degree. A PhD in hypocrisy. When will it end? Well, it hasn't begun. You're just on your mark, waiting for the gun. Because we must still go. Because they told us so. Because I tell you so. But how should we have known? The master plan is all drawn out, and every single nuance is described in excruciating detail. And a safety net is what it seems to be about. A man dash for the finish line, or run for your life, or you might fail.
How should we have known?
Did it hot air balloon burst and crashes, searing ball of burning gas, cuts across the frozen sky. Retrieve, don't know what you'll find, alone and sift into the ashes. Diamonds formed by heat and pressure, gotta look, you gotta try.
Thank you.
I'd like to remind myself of that. You know, I work in this big San Francisco tech company, and it's very easy to fall into conformity and be just like everyone else, mm-hmm. do what everyone else does and what's expected of you. And if you find you're not living your life, then what are you doing? You're wasting time. Go live your own life the way you want to live it.
That's it.
Totally true.
Okay, and then the second song, Greg, there's another song. The first.
Yeah. So Double Mind, this one I do remember recording in 1985. And I remember when I got this, they had come out with it. Digital 8-track tape recorder called an ADAT, and it was an Alesis ADAT, and that was just a quantum leap forward in recording quality from, you know, the cassette 4-track thing. But at that time, this is, you know, early mid-90s, at the time, a digital recording was extremely expensive. I mean, it was prohibitively expensive, mm-hmm. and there was no, you know, the PCs, the computers, the Macs and all that, they weren't really powerful enough at the time, at least something that a consumer could afford. They weren't really powerful enough to use for multi-track recording. So when this ADAT came out, it was just, I got my hands on one of those. In fact, what I did is, they were about twice as expensive in Spain as they were in the U.S., so I remember I speculated a little bit. I bought 3 of them in the U.S., shipped them over to Spain, and then sold the other 2, undercutting the local market, but I made enough money to pay for my own ADAT. So
right.
I was, ADAT trafficking in the mid-90s in Spain. But when I got that thing, it just improved the quality so much. I mean, it was like night and day. And so Double Mind was a song that for me was just this huge leap forward in quality and what I was able to do with the quality of the recording and the sound. And so Double Mind, I wrote that song, the lyrics, and I played every single instrument on it. So that's all me.
That's all you.
On Double Mind, yeah.
How gratifying.
It was gratifying. And at the same time, that kind of marked the end of my home recording. I started playing, I got together with some musicians, some really excellent musicians, and we were playing that Irish bar circuit, playing acoustic music, and it was so much fun. And I kind of decided I didn't really want to record anymore. I just wanted to play live because I was enjoying it so much more. And I never went back to recording. I never went back to sitting and making my own songs and lyrics. I just found that I was enjoying so much more playing live and being with other people and being on a stage. That's really what I wanted to do. And it's kind of stayed that way ever since.
There is an energy. I love the give and take in an audience when you're on stage performing and the audience is, you know, they're snapping their fingers and singing along or tapping their feet, you know.
I think it's important to let go and let yourself get totally carried away by it. That's something that you see in little kids sometimes, and it's amazing to watch. I have a little boy who's 6, and ever since he was maybe 1.5 or something, he just loves to listen to music. Anything you put on, he'll like to listen to it. And he'll make everybody else, he'll be driving in the car, sing on it. If he likes it, he makes everybody else shut up so that he can listen and focus on the music. And if he really likes it, when the song's over, say, play it again. He'll have you play it 3 or 4 times, you know, and he just sits with his kind of mouth open, gazing off into the distance, and you can tell he's totally swept away by it, which totally reminds me of myself. And it's awesome to see because you can tell he's really feeling something about that music. Right? I totally encourage it, you know, and I get sick of hearing some of the songs 4 times in a row, but I can tell, you know, what it is that he's interested in when he's listening to those songs. And we talk about it, and he'll talk about, oh, that tambourine sounds so cool, right? And I'll say, yeah, it does. And it's just great to see that he's picking up on the details and picking up on the little things that make the recording special, you know.
One last thing. If you were to summarize your life and music, how it has intertwined, why it's important to keep music alive in your life.
I don't even know how to answer that. It's like asking what would life on earth be like without a sun, you know?
Right.
It's been something that, you know, we all have these things that we define ourselves with, you know. Some people it's their family, some people it's their career, some people and usually it's a combination of a lot of things. But I look back over my life on the one thing that has continually given me so much satisfaction and so much joy and so much fun and so many emotions and so much everything is music. It's hard for me to imagine what my life would have been like without that. It would have been radically different, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It would have been completely different. Yeah, it's that. It's like, what's summer like without the sun? I don't know. You know?
Well,
can't imagine anything else.
Greg, for people to find more of your music, what should they do? Should we call you at home?
Give them my phone number. They can call me up. I have them. So apparently I have these 2 songs on SoundCloud. I'll put some more on there. So apparently there's interest. Even if it's just you and John, well, let's do that. That's already enough for me. All right, send them to record companies and going to get a deal. We're going to be famous rock stars. You know, I mean, I went through that when I was a teenager and always sorely disappointed in the droves of rejection letters.
Right.
You know, that actually did answer you back then, which was kind of nice. So now they don't even do that. But so I will add some more songs to my SoundCloud page.
Yes.
So it's soundcloud.com/Greg-Robbins-3, numeral 3. So Greg Robbins 3. And these 2 songs are on there. Anybody's welcome to go and grab them, and I'll dig up. I have a lot more.
I have
dozens of songs, and some of them are terrible, and some of them are pretty good. So I'll pick out the good ones,
and I'll
upload them on here.
Yeah, pick your favorite. And I mean, I have had of musicians, because the point of the program is to just share the music, share the life of the musician or groups, because I've had groups on as well, and just to keep this going. And
you know, I'm far away, and I thank you for all that you're doing to help promote music, but especially I mean I can tell that you try to promote it amongst young people and you know, get another generation of
right.
musicians up and running, and that's just awesome that you're doing that. And so thank you for doing that.
I appreciate hearing that.
Appreciate you reaching out to me and you know, giving these songs a chance. They're you know, I have my 3 human kids, but these are also kind of my children, you know.
And oh, I get
even
that.
They were a long time ago. They're still mine, you know, and they're important to me. So thanks for giving them you know, an outlet and getting some people to listen to them. I really appreciate it.